Leadership. My degree's in leadership. The military's about leadership. Probably got my job working at Amazon because of my leadership background. And everybody always wants to ask me leadership questions. What's the best thing about leadership? What's the best thing about leadership? So we're going to talk about leadership this morning. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the day as we gather together, not only to remember those that have fallen, but more importantly, to worship you and praise your name. And thank you for your many blessings upon us. I pray now that you'll be with me, calm my nerves, be with the message, let it sink in. It's something that we're sadly lacking today, leadership. In your name we pray, amen. Military, we define leadership as providing purpose, direction, and motivation to achieve the mission or achieve a common goal. That's what we're about. It's been my privilege throughout my military career to get and meet a lot of recipients of the Medal of Honor. One thing that I've always found that holds true out of all those men that I talk to, when you know, you always want to hear their story because it's just their stories are amazing. And how did that happen? They don't ever want to talk about what they did. They want to talk about their buddies, their leaders. They want to talk about the fallen. And I had the opportunity to listen to Colonel Gordon Roberts. He recently retired off active duty, but for the longest time, he was the only Medal of Honor winner currently on active duty. And he talked about his story, and he tied it to leadership, purpose, direction, and motivation. He talked about his captain, Captain Erickson. He said that he was, a disciplinarian. He cared for his soldiers, and he trained them at every chance he got. When other units would be going off just trying to have fun, he was training them. They were in Vietnam and getting ready to go back out into the jungles, and everybody else is wanting to have a good time, but they had gotten a bunch of new recruits, and he talked about Captain Erickson canceled their time, and he said, we're going to train. We need to train up these new recruits. We need to make sure everybody knows everything they're doing. Spoke highly of Captain Erickson. Well, they went back out, and they were there, and Colonel Roberts at that time was a specialist. He was a specialist in the Army, and he was a point man. I'm sure you all know point man. That's the lead guy. He's leading the element wherever they go. And so as part of that, when the commander gives his orders, the point man's got to be there. So they're going to give the operations order, and they pull in the platoon leaders, and they're huddled in a little circle around Captain Erickson. And he looks them in the eye, and he gives them their purpose. He said, our sister company, Charlie Company, is up here. They're surrounded, and they're pinned down. He gave them direction. He said, we're going to move along this ridgeline till we hit a bunker complex. And then he gave them the motivation. He said, we're either going to get there tonight and rescue them, or we're going to get there in the morning and bury them. Gravest of times. So, Specialist Gordon Roberts, he moves out with his company, and he's moving along the ridgeline. And the machine guns burst open. He looks around, and all those guys around him are either dead or dying or wounded. And he's laying there on the ground. What do I do? What do I do? And he remembered Captain Erickson's word, purpose, direction, and motivation. And his citation reads, Sergeant Roberts' platoon was maneuvering along a ridge to attack heavily fortified enemy bunker positions, which had pinned down an adjoining friendly company. As the platoon approached the enemy positions, it was suddenly pinned down by heavy automatic weapons and grenade fire from camouflaged enemy fortifications atop the overlooking hill. Seeing his platoon immobilized and in danger of failing in its mission, Sergeant Roberts crawled rapidly to the closest enemy bunker. With complete disregard for his safety, he leaped to his feet, charged the bunker, firing as he ran. Despite the intense enemy fire directed at him, Sergeant Roberts silenced the two-man bunker. Without hesitation, Sergeant Roberts continued his one-man assault on a second bunker. As he neared the second bunker, a burst of enemy fire knocked his rifle from his hands. Sergeant Roberts picked up a rifle dropped by a comrade and continued his assault, silencing the bunker. He continued his charge against the third bunker and destroyed it with well-thrown hand grenades. Although Sergeant Roberts was now cut off from his platoon, he continued his assault against the fourth enemy emplacement. He fought through heavy hail of fire to join the elements of the adjoining company, which had been pinned down by the enemy fire. Although continually exposed to hostile fire, he assisted in moving wounded soldiers from exposed positions on the hilltop to an evacuation area before returning to his unit. By his gallant and selfless actions, Sergeant Roberts contributed directly to saving the lives of his comrades and served as an inspiration to his fellow soldiers in defeat of the enemy force. Sergeant Roberts' extraordinary heroism in action at the risk of his life were in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army. He gave all the credit when I was talking to him, to that captain, who would give him purpose, direction, and motivation. You know, what we need today is we need leadership. You know, growing up, I had the privilege of having good leadership. Started with my parents. I had good leadership with my parents, aunts, uncles, friends. As I see Mrs. Stiver, she gave me a lot of leadership. Told me to, when it corrected me when I was doing things wrong. Pastors, my youth pastor. One of my strongest mentors is my youth pastor, Kevin Goggler, who teaches up and preaches up in Coatesville, Indiana. If I make a big life decision, I'm calling Kevin. I want his guidance. I want his wisdom. Kevin's the leader. I want to tell you about the most important leader in my life, my Lord Jesus Christ. And my Lord Jesus Christ, he provides me with those three things a leader does. He provides me with purpose, he provides me with direction, and he can motivate me. He can motivate me to do what I want. You know, I have a friend of mine, Eric, here. Eric was with me. We were privates together in 3rd Ranger Battalion way back in the dark ages of 1984. And, you know, we aspired. We went airborne and we went to work in the Rangers. And we had some of the best, after 32 years, I would still say the best non-commissioned officers in the Army. They were elite. They were the best. They had standards. People always ask me, what's the most important leadership trait you can have as a leader? Without hesitation, set the example for others to follow. Our sergeants, and Eric will testify to it, they never asked us to do anything that they weren't going to do themselves, that they hadn't already done themselves, and that they probably couldn't do better than us. Whether it was road marching, whether it was doing pull-ups, whether it was doing push-ups, they were always better at me in running. Eric can testify. I'm not a good runner. One of the joys of retirement is when I hung up my tennis shoes and then run. I have a saying, I ought to have it a sign in my house. I hate running so much, I don't even run to the bathroom. You know, I've never understood it. You know, these guys, my dad talks about it like he liked it. Yeah, I liked it when we were back in the Army, you know, get up and you run and come back, take a shower. Oh, you feel so good. No, I just felt tired. I just felt like going back to bed. Never enjoyed running. But you know, when I'm talking about my leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a leader who leads by example. He's loving. He abhors evil, cleaves to that which is good, kind, not slothful, patient, praying, giving. He weeps with those who weep. He rejoices with those who rejoice. He's the kind of leader that I want to be. At Amazon, they have, when you get hired on, at least in our building, you get hired on, they take a picture of you, and then they put it up there, and you're, for all this, you know, associates, employees will know who all the management leaders are, and you have quotes up there. And who you want to be like, and who are you most impressed with? And mine says Jesus Christ. That's who my leader is. He provides me purpose. I had the privilege when I was in Iraq. I had a chaplain. He was a great chaplain. Chaplain Howe. He can be a little full of himself, my wife says, but I'll tell you what, he was great, and iron sharpened iron, and me and him, we had discussed theology as we was traveling all over Afghanistan and checking on our soldiers, and he was always trying to quiz me, you know, catch me off guard. And he says, one day he says to me, "Sergeant Major, what's your purpose? What's your purpose in life?" And without hesitation, I said, "Well, it's the same purpose as everybody. Our purpose is to bring glory to God." Romans 11:36, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to him be glory forever and ever." My purpose here on life, God put me here as a loving God, is to serve and worship him and bring glory to him and represent him well. One of the things that chaplain at Allie's commencement ceremony spoke of, he says, you know, when you join the Air Force, one of the girls was going to join the Air Force. How convenient for her that she got to be the focus of attention. He says, you're going to wear two name tags. He says, one, it's going to be your family name. And he says, everything you do, you're a representation of your parents, your family name. He said, the other name tag is going to be, you know, United States Air Force. In my case, United States Army. Everything I do is going to represent them. We need to, because we want to bring, I never wanted to bring anything, you know, I didn't want my parents to open the paper here in Indiana and say, hey, Victor was, put in jail last night, and, you know, Victor was, you know, DUI, or Victor stole something. I never wanted to bring anything like that to my family name, because what? I wanted to bring honor to my parents. As Christians, we should want to bring honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only does he give us a purpose, he gives us direction, being in God's perfect will. I think that can be one of the biggest struggles of any Christian. Am I doing right? Am I doing what the Lord wants me to do? Ephesians 12, right after that verse in Romans 11, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. I want to be in God's will, you know, and I struggle with that. Struggle with that as a Christian. Am I doing it? A verse that really helped me as a Christian when talking about am I doing the right thing is Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So what does that mean? Those things, those talents, those gifts that God has given me, I don't need to be wasting them on myself. I don't need to be throwing them and casting them aside. I need to be using my talents for God's honor and God's glory. Kathy had asked me the other day, you know, do you ever feel like you're where you're supposed to be? You know, when we were in Germany, I surrendered to full-time Christian service. I'll do whatever the Lord had asked me to do. And I went on at that time. I continued another 8 years in the military. The Lord blessed me and I retired as a command sergeant major. And I was all excited. I just thought for sure that I would go into be a pastor or missionary or something in full-time Christian service. And it seemed like everything I put out there to that just wasn't happening. And I'm like, Lord, what am I doing? What should I be doing? I drove by Amazon on the way home, and I constantly go by there on the way home, and you know, everybody thinks, you know, wow, you retired from the military, you just retired. I will never retire, just between me and you. You know, I've seen what happens when you retire. You slow down. So I'm just gonna go out on fire, you know, with my boots on and just work myself into the ground. That's what my kids say my hobby is. Right. So I put in my application for Amazon, and make long story short, the Lord worked that out. I am positive the Lord worked that out, because I've seen what other managers go through to get hired on there. And I still scratch my head, how did they hire this old country boy to work in Amazon? But that's my direction, you know. How do I stay in the Lord's will? Well, I keep sin out of my life. Those things that I know that's not wrong. Me and my wife, we have, you know, praise the Lord for a good wife. She's my best friend. We discuss like that. When I'm discouraged, she lifts me up. When she's discouraged, There's no lifting her up. No. Yeah. Well, she knows that. We always tease about it. Kathy can be of Debbie. The glass is always, you know, two people, we've been married almost 30 years. One, the glass is half empty. And it's going to be empty really soon. And the other one, the glass half full and it's almost overflowing. That's our two personalities and how we look at things. But, you know, we just compliment each other. You know, so you get the sin out of your life, but read your Bible and pray every day. Man, I used to think that's easy. And, you know, when I was in the military, it was a lot easier. Military is a very structured lifestyle where you get up and you go and you PT and you come home. Everything's on the clock. You're doing everything on the clock. I work third shift at Amazon. So I go in at 5 and I get off at 5. I don't know that. That's not even a third shift. That's a crazy shift. But, you know. But when I get off done with that 12-hour shift, I'm tired. I want to go to bed. And usually when I wake up, I'm tired. And trying to get to my devotions and my prayer life, it's been a struggle. I'll admit it. It's been a struggle. And me and Kathy, we make accountability partners. Here about a couple months ago, me and Kathy were even struggling, just seemed like we were fighting. And we got a pastor in Germany, our missionary pastor, and our daughter ratted us out to him. Our daughter is stationed in Germany. She said, "Mom and Dad, they're not clicking." He was like, he called us, set us up. He says, "I want to Skype you guys. You know, I'm caught up. We got to catch up." We were like, "Oh, this will be cool." You know, so we put the computer up, popped on the screen, and he was like, "What's up with you two?" We're like, "What's up with us two?" He says, "You know, you, Autumn told me y'all been struggling." "No, Kathy's struggling. I'm, you know." So we're going back and forth. And, you know, Brother John, he can peel back the onion. And the simplest of problems, is we just gotten away from our close walk with the Lord. Praying together, doing devotions, reading our Bible every day. And he was like, "I want you all to sit in your front room. I want you to read your Bible. I want you all to pray together. And we'll just do with that." He always acted, you know, like there's this great big long plan. That's the plan. With Brother John, you know, he is acting like, you know, when you get to that point, then we'll go on to the next point. No, that's the point. The first point is the point. Spending time alone with God. And, you know, in just the few short weeks, the focus of Victor getting a job, the house, home ownership has been a stressful situation for my wife. It's hard for me to deal with people and they say they're stressed out. They'll tell me at work, they say, "Man, I'm so stressed." As soon as somebody says they're stressed, I'm looking for somebody that's trying to shoot at me or blow me up. Because that's how I define stress. Is somebody trying to actively kill you? That's stress. The things we do on our day-to-day life, they might be hiccups, they might cause a little bother, but it's not stress. You know, getting back to the Lord. My Lord gives me purpose. He gives me direction. What's my motivation? It goes back to what I had said earlier. I want to bring honor and I want to bring glory to my parents the same way I'd want to bring it to my Lord and Savior. How much? You know, I want to long to hear those words that when I get to heaven, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, I don't want to be, you know, looking with my head down. I want to be like, "Wish I had more to give." So, you know, so that's my purpose, direction, motivation. As a Christian, I work at Amazon. I'm not in the pulpit every Sunday. And then with my schedule, Sunday afternoons is the only time that really I'm able to attend church. So I'm like, what is, you know, but the Lord provides doorways and you need to be ready. Galatians 5:16. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." People see me at work. Hopefully they see the Lord Jesus Christ. They see something different about me. They all step out. The quickest one is when they found out I had 10 acres and I lived out in the country. They were like, "Oh, we can come out and have a bonfire and hot dogs." And I said, "Man, that sounds like a great time, but no drinking." what? You're a soldier in the army. You don't drink? No, don't drink. Don't think it represents me well. I've seen it destroy other people's lives. So y'all welcome to come, but won't be no drinking out there. And nobody's visited yet. But anyway, have those standards. So every night, and I'm going to close with this. Every night at work, all us managers come in. There's probably anywhere from 6 to 13 of us managers are in there. It looks all official. We got a great big long table. Everybody files in, and we're going to go over the production, what's coming with the company, and how to keep everything running in our shifts and doing really good. And then after the formal part of it, everybody, you know, whips out their lunch boxes and starts eating, and everybody will just office chat, talk about what's going on. One of the things, I guess, here has been about 3 or 4, might even been a month ago, I guess a famous, I don't play sports. I don't follow baseball. It's fine if you do. Football, any of it, no, don't care about it. I think they make way too much money, and I'm not going to support it because I'm cheap. But one of the things that they talk about, I guess, this football player who had been really famous and everything and actually committed a murder and was in jail and it took his own life. And the guy was reading it off of, I guess, Yahoo News or anything, one of the managers, and he says, he had John 3:16 written on his forehead. And it was silence in the room. And then I was just waiting for it. Somebody says, "What's John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then you could hear the silence. Like right now, that awkward silence. And then somebody asked the next beautiful question. What does that mean? And I said, what that means is there's a God in heaven, creator of us all, who loved us so much. He created us. We are the climax of his creation. He placed us in the garden, Adam and Eve. Everything was going great, but sin came into the world. And because of that sin, there's separation between God and man. Because God is perfect, God can't deal with that, with sin. But God wants to have fellowship with man. So what God needed to sacrifice to restore that relationship with mankind. And I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. He died on the cross for your sins, for my sins. And if we just have simple faith in Jesus Christ and believe on him, we can be saved and have a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you do that and you get saved and you ask Christ into your heart, Jesus Christ becomes your leader. Now, are you going to follow him? He's given you purpose. He's given you direction. And he's given you motivation. I've had some of the best leaders throughout my military career. The soldiers to my left and right had that same outstanding leadership. But they fell by the wayside because they did not listen to the purpose, the direction, or the motivation of the leader who was trying to make them better. Same way in your Christian life. If you put Jesus at the helm and he's in charge of your life, everything is going to be fine. Does that mean you're not going to have any problems or go through trials and tribulations? No. Every person goes through those trials. But you'll have a leader who's going to lead you through it and bring you out better on the other side. Thank you.